Well, hello, friends. It's Jory Prosen again with JCCS Presents, and this is our third podcast. We're still alive and kicking. We're still above water. Maybe treading water, but we're above water. We got a good one for you today. We hope you've enjoyed the first one that we had last week. It was our first podcast, Who Needs a Savior? And this is the second one, but it's actually podcast three. The first one was just an orientation of sorts. And as you can see, as the slides go by, the topic of today's podcast is the Last Days Church, the Laodicean Church. And we think there's a lot of meat to this. So it's been covered in a lot of different places, but I don't know if it's a good thing. It's probably the sign of the times, if you would, the end times. So there's just more material all the time to work with in this area, and by that you'll see what I mean. So before we get started, just big welcome to everybody, and if you've been joining us in the last podcast, you know that everybody's welcome, regardless whether you're a believer in Jesus Christ, a Christian, if you want to call it. We try to stay away from the religiosity of things. It's a spiritual journey of sorts, if you would. But if you're agnostic, atheist, or you come from another religious background, you're all welcome here. That's the beauty of the whole thing. The only thing, when we do open up the channels for feedback, we ask you to be respective, and we'll get to that when the time is right. But today's subject, well, let's get right at it, because there's a lot to talk about and a lot to get into: the Church of Laodicea. And I'm not going to presume how much you know or don't know, but a lot was written in the book of Revelation in chapter 3. About seven churches in particular that the Lord God wanted to give a warning, or literally a shout out from heaven about. Now, Laodicea, where was it? It was an ancient city, of course, and it was located near the river Lycus in the Romanian province of Asia. So the seven churches that the Apostle Paul was writing about were, in fact, the seven churches of Asia, and one of them just happened to be the Church of Laodicea. Now, you probably have heard of the term Laodiceans, and a lot of people tend to associate that, and rightfully so, with being lukewarm, and certainly that has a lot to do with our topic today. But why do we call it the Last Days Church? And that's what we're really going to be digging into. Some of the slides that are passing by are giving away little tidbits of what you can come to expect in this discussion. And we'll just build this and unwrap it as we go along. So we look forward to sharing this together. And another question that comes up is, what is this whole hot and cold thing? And if you read Revelation chapter 3, the Lord says that you are neither hot or cold, but you were lukewarm. And so what's this whole thing about being lukewarm? Is that a problem? Well, if you're a believer, and you're to be a believer in the Lord, what the Lord is saying, and we're going to get into this, is it probably would have been better for you not to have gone through all the religiosity, all the religious appearances of being righteous and everything from the beginning, rather than waste your time and do that kind of a thing. And it really, since the Lord knows all our hearts, He knows our hearts are desperately wicked as well. So with that being said, he's saying whether you're hot or you're cold would have been a better choice. There would have been a little more sincerity in that way, I guess. Somebody that says they're an atheist, are they being more sincere than somebody that isn't? I don't know. It's kind of funny, because I find that a lot of atheists find that they have to justify themselves, and sometimes atheists are talking more about God than actual God-fearing believers. But that's for another time. So this is really the temperature, if you would, the hot and cold. We're talking about not the actual whether it's cold like your refrigerator cold or hot like turning the water on and seeing steam come out. We're talking about spiritual temperature, like spiritual development. Are you someone that really just goes along with the idea of, I have to attend church, my parents attend church, or my parents make me, if you're young and you're not of legal age, 18 or so, and then you feel you have to come along. And some people just do that for their whole lives, and they're called pew warmers. They basically come to church. Sometimes they fall asleep, and there's a slide of that a little bit later. And they really don't get out of the pew. They literally warm it up for the next person. And it's quite tragic. And in some cases, it's even deceptive, is a good word, because it gives a false sense of security that, oh yeah, I'm in church. You get back into what we were talking about last week with doing good works and with different religions. Well, attending church, does that make God happy? Is God looking down from heaven saying, wow, congratulations, you're going to church, I love it. Oh, congratulations, you're opening up your Bible. Oh, thank you, I've been waiting for that. Obviously, tongue-in-cheek, but you get the idea. God isn't wanting just, what he says, obedience is better than sacrifice in the Bible. So you can take all the sacrifices you want, whether they're just empty gestures or they are genuine, but if there isn't a bona fide sense of devotion with it, then God couldn't care less about it. And if you remember Cain and Abel, one was a forester, Abel, and he basically Cain was hunting, and his sacrifice versus Abel, and there was obviously a difference of opinion, which one was more approved of by God. Well, it was Abel's, and God, and Cain was very, very jealous, and unfortunately it was the first recorded murder in the Bible. But that's an interesting story that we'll have to look into at some point in time. So the Lord is talking really about the fruit of someone's life, how it measures up. Is there fruit bear, is there spiritual fruit is spiritual fruit coming from what you're doing? Is it being a blessing to others? Are you doing it with the right kind of heart? That kind of thing is what God cares about. And sometimes we forget to look into that kind of a thing. And so he being the Lord is very to the point, and actually very explicit. He says, I'll actually spit the church out of his mouth, which is, if that's not a warning, then I don't know what one is. So what we're going to look at is what the Laodicean church looks like today, because yes, it's alive and well. You can visit the ruins of Laodicea. There are some signs still left. I don't know if any of the pillars are still up. I know years ago they were. You can go visit it, but you don't actually have to go and visit the actual ruins, because a lot of the churches today already have all the spirit of Laodicea. the spirit of laziness, the spirit of apostasy, which is really all tied in together, the apostasy of these of this last day's church, and more to the point, a lot of the churches today, whether they're profit-driven churches, name it and claim it, there's so many different kinds of false churches that are really practicing doctrines of demons out there nowadays, and really for the most part going through the motions. So they are extremely lukewarm, and you'll know them by their fruit. That's what the Lord says. And getting to that point, we are to not just reprove the works of darkness, but we are also called to judge righteously, righteous judgment, as the Lord has instructed. So are we bearing false witness when we talk of the fruit of one's efforts? As you see some faces here that you may recognize, one's coming up in just a moment in the corner of the bottom. You'll see Joel Osteen and his humongous church that he and his wife run, which is a profit-driven church, a Laodicean church for sure. The watering down of the gospel, making false, making appearances just for the sake of, and to make things look good, the religiosity of all this. You know, we go back to the Laodicean church. What was it? It was the a church established in the apostolic age, and it was at a time when it was the earliest part of Christianity as well. So Christianity as a movement, not as a religion, but it was a movement, was really just getting started at that time. So where is all this going? Why is this even significant? Because many hold, and myself included, that this is all a setup, that the enemy, Satan, and the Antichrist and the false prophet will use to build their one world religion, their mystery Babylon. And ecumenism, the joining of different I don't want to call it religiosity, but it is religiosity, truly. You hear the term chrysalism, the combination of Christianity and Islam. That is definitely part of it. And compromising of the church, the foundations and the tenets that the church was built on, all that has been compromised. And so these are earmarks of not all churches, certainly, but a majority of the mega churches, the seeker-sensitive churches, the churches that really are, Rick Warren and the purpose-driven church, to build a church that for the most part resonates of a church built with hands and not by the Spirit of God. What are the consequences of it? Well, the Lord has already warned us what those consequences are. He said, you're not hot or cold, you're lukewarm, and I will spew you out of my mouth. So let me ask you, I don't know if you attend a church or you go to a mosque or synagogue, or you don't attend any church at all, but if you ever had attended a church, or for that matter, if you had been involved in any religious experience that you felt it was stifling or suffocating, or let's use the word complacent, an atmosphere where, I don't want to use the word progressive in the sense of man-made advancements, but progressiveness in the sense that God is working, that the babes on the milk are, as Apostle Paul said, are now on the meat of the Word of God. And that there's you're seeing spiritual maturity take place, that the fruit of the Spirit is evident in the people that are there. You have some churches that are mission sent, and they're very good at sending people out on missions. But where the church has always had a real major problem is in the simple form of discipleship. They've had to come up with programs, Alpha and others, that have meant well, but there's always been a hint of, compromise in some of them. And this is where we're at in these end times. The wheat and the chaff are literally being sifted, and people are being sifted by God, or God allowing the enemy Satan to sift people, because God wants to know who's on his side, who's on the fence, and who's working for the enemy. Yes, I said who's working for the enemy. There are plants of Satan in the church. And we'll talk about the Jezebel spirit at some point in time, not necessarily today, but that's alive and well. And you can see it in some of the false teachers, these false prophets, sheeps in wolf's clothing. You can tell them. The prosperity movement is filled with them. And Joel Osteen is just one of many, many individuals that are making millions and millions and millions of dollars on what they take in the way of a salary, and from their the sale of their books. And meanwhile, they're presenting another gospel too, as well. They take the gospel out of context. They don't rightfully divide the word of God as the Bereans have done. And they don't bother with trying the spirits to see which is of God and which is not, because frankly, a lot of them know which side they're on. And it doesn't take much to realize that they're not on God's side. You'll see a lot of pictures coming by of the Pope as well. In fact, in a moment or two, you'll see a picture of the Pope making the Carnoto, the devil sign. If you think that is just a coincidence, well, sadly enough, you'll find out that nothing is of coincidence. The Pope, not maybe necessarily this one. I know that this was supposed to be the last Pope, according to prophetic claims. I'm going to leave that one alone, because the Word of God doesn't explicitly state people by names and who is the last Pope and who isn't. But that church or that religious movement of Catholicism will play a major role in the final days, and the ecumenicism of the new world religion, the one world religion. This is, as you see the slide, the emergent church and universalism. And you see all these churches trying to bring in all these different sects and religious types of thinking. And believe it or not, the Pope has stated that religions, they all serve the same God. Well, is that true? Is Allah the same God as Yahweh and Jehovah? Absolutely not. And that, unfortunately, is just, you know, all it's like an Oprah Winfrey type of statement. All paths lead to God. And that absolutely is not the case. So we have the prosperity movement. We have the name it and claim it. We have the forward church, the seeker-sensitive church, all these types of lukewarm Laodicean churches that are out there today that are taking the gospel or not really providing the gospel. Some are providing entertainment. Oh, yes. You can go and see people doing hip hop dancing and listening to all kinds of music, and they can dress in any way they want to. They can show up in leather jackets and girls in very short mini skirts. Now, if it sounds like you're being judgmental here and we're judging people by the way their appearance, remember this, that we are to be ambassadors to Christ, for Christ. We're the ministers of reconciliation. We're a living testimony to the rest of the world. If we dress like the world, if we talk like the world, if we appear like the world, this whole idea that we can meet people where they're at by being like the world is a doctrine of demons. It is absolutely a falsehood. They take out of context, they say Jesus dined with thieves. Jesus dined with all kinds of, we dined with Matthew, with a money merchant. He never became a thief. He never became a tax collector. He never became these people. Yes, he met them where they were, but he never dressed like them. He never talked like them. He didn't become them because he was always bearing the light of truth, the way, the truth, and the life. And this is where, unfortunately, a lot of these seeker-sensitive churches are aiming their messages to youth of today, and they love it. You get the tickling of the ears. You get cool pastors. You take Hillsong. I can't remember his name, unfortunately. If he's listening, please forgive me. I don't mean any due respect, but one of the pastors in America, the one that likes to wear all the jeans and have the earring and the whole nine yards to look like the world. So he can reach out to youth and say, hey, church isn't a bad thing. And hey, it's almost like a rock concert. Well, guess what? If you were to walk in, if you weren't a believer and you accidentally walked in the door and you didn't know it was a church, you wouldn't think it was a church. I'm not saying you have to read old gospel hymns and everything this and that. But being like the world and being of the world and in the world are two different things. And yes, there is a counterfeit Christianity. And I'm going to leave the slide there that you can check out. We don't have time today to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, but you can read about it. And there's unfortunately a lot of counterfeit. Looks like it, tastes like it, seems like it. It's shocking, and it's all over the place. You get people that clearly are Satanists making all kinds of satanic rock and roll, and yet you have some of their followers saying, hey, that person's a Christian. Well, we're not known by a name. We're known by who we are inside and known to the Lord. The Lord knows us because he knows our works. He knows our hearts, and he knows our obedience, just like he knows those who are lukewarm. So yes, examine your faith and make sure that your heart is right with God, because all of eternity is based on that. We're going to come back in just about 30, well, it's going to be, actually, I can tell you, we've been doing this long enough, 34 seconds to be exact. We're going to take the break about a 25-minute mark. See ya. And welcome back. It's Jory Prosen with JCCS Presents The Way It Is, Podcast 3, The Last Days Church. And isn't it a sad thing that just before Christ comes back, and I say just before, I realize a lot of things have to happen before the Lord actually does show up, but this life literally, and it's an age thing, as you get older, life seems to go by faster and faster. But isn't it a shame? Like, there's a reason why Scripture says, when the Lord returns, will he find any faith on the earth? Will he find any faith? Of course, there'll be believers. There'll be believers alive, and there'll be those who had the tribulation saints, those who had have to give up their life because of their belief system that they didn't want to take the mark of the beast, the 666. All that kind of thing, we will be talking. We will delve into eschatology. That's the study of Bible prophecy. But we are kind of dealing with it right now when we talk about the lukewarm church. So if you're in a lukewarm church, how do you know? How do you know you're in a lukewarm church? It's much more than that slide when we came back that I told you about was coming, the one where the people are sleeping, the pew warmers. That's one way to certainly tell that the Spirit of God isn't necessarily moving, but it's how much fruit is being born. Are people coming to Christ? Is there repentance being preached? That's a huge indication. You are in a lukewarm church if it's a feel-good, fuzzy experience where the gospel in its entirety, which repentance is a huge part of getting right with God, whether it's the very first time you've ever repented, or you're backslidden and you've been away from the Lord, you're the prodigal child, you want to come back to God. Whatever it is, repentance. If your church doesn't preach, if the priest that is in your church is not preaching repentance, get out of there. You're in a false counterfeit church. You're in a Laodicean lukewarm church. There are so many of them out there. A moment ago, you saw Paula White. She was involved, unfortunately, in some blight on the church, a sex scandal with Benny Hinn, the one that takes his jacket off and whips it at people, and they all they all fall down, slain in the spirit, holy laughter. I'm not attacking charismatics, but look at the Word of God. We'll deal into that and speaking in tongues and all that. These are secondary issues. But being lukewarm is not a secondary issue, nor is repenting when you're involved in sin. Because God is, as sure as I am speaking here today, will not hear you and listen to you when you are in a sinful condition. It's not that God doesn't love you. God always loves you. God always loves you even when you're sinning. God loves you. He hates your sin. He hates my sin. He hates everyone's sin. He's holy. He's righteous. People have used that to death. I realize God loves, loves the sinner. And the problem with that is it's been used inappropriately to justify sin. And in the age of this age of political correctness and tolerance, the Bible certainly has something to say about that. Woe to those who say evil is good and good is evil. And what do we have in these last days? It's funny. You got people pointing the fingers saying, you're a racist, you're a racist. Well, what are they doing? They're creating racism. They're creating division. It sounds like I'm probably taking a side here. I'm just saying from a common sense standpoint, where is common sense today? So this also applies for the church in general. That, you know, like we were talking about before the break, if you act like the church and you're being like the church, you know, you're catering towards your flesh. And unfortunately, I can't speak to whether where Hillsong went in the wrong direction, if it was ever in the right direction, but they have masses amounts of young people listening to their music. I mean, they make very professional music. And I know that there's people that are born again saved believers in the Hillsong movement. And there's many people that attend Hillsong that are Christians. But it's going to attract a great deal of lukewarmness. And lukewarmness opens the door for something even more damaging. Apostasy. What is apostasy? That's taking the things of God and doing away with them so that you can live your life any way you want to. Basically, it's very demonic, and apostasy is a falling away, and it's part of the great falling away that the scriptures talked about in these end times, that this would truly happen. And lo and behold, it has been happening, hasn't it? You've been seeing it. You've seen priests, pedophiles. It breaks your heart to have to talk about these things. And if there's children in the room, you know, this is a show for mature content. I don't put a warning at the beginning. If I have a show that's filled with mature content, then I will certainly have a warning. But I'll just simply mention that we all are aware of the dangers of pedophiles and sexual predators in the churches. Why is there so many? Well, we talked about plants. Plants, not plants like you garden with soil. Demonic plants in the church. Sheep's and wolf's clothing. Really easy to enter into a Laodicean lukewarm church where the gospel isn't really preached anyways. Much harder for a plant of the enemy to come into a Bible-believing, Holy Spirit-driven church, because that person will be outed. That person will be exposed for who they are. And this is why it's so important, and why the Lord cares so much about the flock, that the flock is protected. And there's a stern warning for these false teachers. They're leading, literally in some cases, millions and millions of people astray. And it's heartbreaking. It's not even tithes and offerings anymore. Like it goes back to the scam artist people that were asking, the Robert Tiltons of the world, and on and on. You can mention so many, the PTL Club with Jimmy and Tammy Baker, and so many people that fraudulently asked for just huge amounts of donations, and then you wonder why they've got three mansions and three jet planes and three, maybe more than 10 fancy sports cars. And well, they're using the money not for God's work. They'll tell you that we're sowing a seed with your donation, that every donation you give is for God, but it's going in their pocket. And it's insane. But God doesn't miss anything. God sees everything. And we will all have to give an account, every one of us, for everything we've done. And those that claim they were men and women of God, they're going to be held to a higher standard. To much was given, much will be expected. But the fact of the matter is, a lot of these people, they were never given their role in the first place. They built their church out of the flesh, out of hands. They never consulted God. And they know in their heart of hearts what they're doing is wrong, although some, mind you, have had their consciences scorched with an iron. And they've become reprobate. And the Lord has given them over to being reprobate. I am not talking today about misguided sinners, which we all are, and we all can be. So please don't misunderstand me. I am not talking about teachers or even pastors that make mistakes. We all make mistakes. God understands that. I am talking about willful, deceptive sin to take the flock and steer them away from God and the things of God and godliness and righteousness and holiness and turn them towards the world or ultimately to Satan. And then you wonder, why? Why are so many, like particularly teenagers, leaving the church? They come from a church family background. Several generations, my parents, my grandparents, my great-grandparents, we all went to the same church. Then all of a sudden the teenagers come along and they say, ah, it's not for me. There's nothing here for me. You know why there's nothing there for them? Because the devil has got them. Satan has got them. Satan's gotten into their ears. The world, the siren calling of the world, whether it be movies or TV shows or gaming or friends or and peer pressure and drug taking and smoking and drinking and all the vice and sex, premarital sex and all these things, the siren calling of the flesh, the caterings of the flesh have gotten into their ears and have steered them away from God. I hope and pray that many will return, but some, unfortunately, will not return. And I don't care what church you go to, you see these things. And it's not just in Christianity either. There's plenty of different religions where the younger generations rebel against what appears to be authority. It's because the Spirit of God has never gotten hold of that youth to invigorate them and to infuse inside them the excitement of what is and can be and will be and the future. What happens when you're spirit-driven. And I've seen teenagers who have that. And it's exciting. It's exciting to see them. They smile, and they smile radiantly, and their eyes are lit up, and they're so excited to go. And I'm not saying that all teenagers need to go on missions and things like that, but it's amazing when they have given their life to the Lord that they realize even at a young age that half, maybe more, way more than half, the things that are offered in this world are useless, vanity, just for our own puffed up sense of importance, but not really of any importance to God. So ultimately, is it really important? Does it have eternal consequences? When we get older, as we get older, hopefully as we get wiser, we realize some of these things are just a waste of time. Some of my hobbies, some of the where I spend my time, what I do, is it for me? Is it for God? Will it have any lasting consequences? Trust me, friends, I don't have to tell you this. This life goes by in a blink of an eye, and then it's over. And there are so many people, unfortunately, on their deathbed with those regrets. Not just that they didn't give back, but they could have done something more with their life, using the talents that God has given you and blessed you with. It's always amazing when people say, "I don't have any spiritual gifts. I don't know what you're talking about. God didn't give me anything." Oh, yes, he did. He gave everyone gifts. But if you don't take the time to let the Holy Spirit work inside you and show you what you can do. And this is the part of where a spirit-filled church would come alongside you and support you. Again, these are all indications by the fruits of the Spirit. We shall be known by the fruit or the lack of fruit. And the last days church, unfortunately, bears little to no fruit. In fact, if anything, the last days church just emulates the world, and the world doesn't think anything of it. You wonder why in the last days mockers and scoffers come along, and why the Bible says in the last days there will be mockers and scoffers saying, Where is Jesus Christ? Why is he tarrying so long? Why is he taking so long to come back if he's going to come back? He's never coming back." And, you know, all this talk about how radical it is to believe in Bible prophecy and that these things are going to happen. Well, part of it is it's the sign of the time, certainly. But the other side of that is because we do such a poor job of discipleship, of sharing the gospel, of going out and just doing the simple things that God said. The two commandments, the takeaway of our lives for those who want to follow in the footsteps of Christ. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and thy strength, and to love thy neighbor as thyself. Dude, what does that look like? What does that even mean? It's a steep, steep perspective. It means sometimes, not sometimes, but as much as as you're willing to do so, to submit to the Holy Spirit, and in so surrender your own ambitions and desires. Not like in Buddhism, where you're going to reach a plain of nirvana and deny the self. When you pick up your cross, the reason why you're making these sacrifices is not for good works. It's so when you're weak, then God's strength is made perfect in you. God doesn't care about what you can do on your own. He didn't come for the righteous. He came for those who were sick and those that were discouraged and those that are depressed and at the end of themselves and then at the bottom. And if you're one of those people listening today that feels that way, that's so depressed, nobody gets me, nobody wants to hear from me, nobody cares about me, I don't have enough words to tell you. Please, God loves you so much. God loves you. Even though you may not feel that way right now, God hears you and God cares about you. And if you just simply open up your heart and pray to God, God will speak to you through the still small voice of God, the Holy Spirit. Listen, what do you got to lose? If you're truly in that place, you have nothing to lose. And frankly, you have everything to gain. And that's where I wanted to take this today, take it to a personal level, because after all, it's all about personal choices. The Laodiceans decided to be lukewarm. They decided not to be hot or cold. They cared about their appearances. And today's church does that too. They got all the same things that the world has. They're doing the same things that the world does. Try to portray Jesus as some hipster, cool guy, surfing dude, and I know that's an extreme and that's blasphemy. That's how far it goes. But if we all be honest with ourselves, and we really allow God to penetrate our hearts, we'll see that maybe we are on the fence. That maybe we too are heading down that road of apostasy. Please, my friend, whoever you are in this world, whatever you believe in, don't get comfortable on the fence. You may think you have your whole life in front of you, but you're not promised tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. And today is the day to get right with God. And if you've been searching your whole life for answers, and you've been looking in all the places, the one place that maybe you forgot to look the most was your own heart. Please don't forget, our hearts are desperately wicked. And who can know them but God? So I ask you today, what is the temperature? What is your temperature spiritually? Are you hot? Are you cold for God? Or are you lukewarm? And if you are lukewarm, I wouldn't get too comfortable. Remember, the frog jumped into the pot and thought it was just nice and cozy. And slowly, 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 the heat was turned more and more and more. And we all know the outcome of that one. So, I'm going to leave you with that. And thank you for joining us on podcast 3, can't believe it, of JCCS Presents The Way It Is. And that was the way it was. And if God will have something to do about it, that's the way it is. That's the way it will be. So, don't be part of the problem. Be part of the solution. Say no to apostasy. And say yes to God and the plans. As Jeremiah says, God knows our heart's desire, and he has plans to not hurt us, but to prosper us and to provide for us a wonderful, wonderful future. And you can be part of that future. Don't listen to the siren callings of the world. Don't listen to the scoffers and the mockers. They'll always be there. They were scoffing and mocking Noah too when the flood came and the rain started. You know what happened to them as well. So are you part of the last days church? Or are you part of the bride of Christ? It's not about being in a church. It's about being part of the bride. The Lord Jesus Christ's beloved. True church. The church universal. Thank you very much. This is Jory Prosen. And I'm signing off today for JCCS Presents The Way It Is, podcast number 3. I want to wish you God bless you, God keep you, and wish you God's shalom to you and yours. And until next time, please be well, and please listen to God speaking to your heart today. He has something for you. He says he'll never leave you or forsake you. We serve an awesome God. Bye for now, and God bless you.
Thank you.